You're listening to Leaders Portfolio, audiocast on leadersportfolio.com. I'm your host, Rebecca Blacksmith, here with the CEO of Verilion, Dan Solomon. Welcome, Dan, to the LeaderSpot studio.
Well, thank you very much. I'm very glad to be here.
Now, Verilion is a full-service interactive agency providing everything from strategy to web design to email distribution. And you joined the company as CEO in 2000.
That's correct. I mean, when I joined, we were 9 people in one office in DuPont Circle. Now we are close to 50 people. We've been on Inc. 5000 3 years in a row, and we have offices in Austin, Boston, New York City, and Washington, D.C.
And so, and what attributes to that growth? What decisions did you make as a leader that?
Oh, I think it was a combination of decisions, but also just the fact that it was perfect timing. Digital communications has certainly taken off over the last 10 years, and it will continue to grow over the last 20. I think I was lucky enough, and the best decisions I made was to recruit a great team that allowed us to build the company.
And so your background is you worked for other kind of digital publishers first. So you got the experience through your background. You were publisher of nationaljournal.com. You were general manager of National Journals, Congress Daily, and Technology Daily.
That's correct. Verilion is an advertising agency, a marketing services firm. And media companies, which I ran before, are really in the same kind of business. We develop content. We try to serve our audiences in different ways and provide sponsorship platforms. And media companies and advertising firms really work in close connection with each other. So as a business person, as an entrepreneur, as a CEO, I saw great similarities, and that's one of the things I bring to bear to our clients as well.
One thing that's tricky about the field you're in is how quickly it changes.
Yes, indeed. But that's actually one of the things that we and values we bring to our client. At a core and foundation of our business is the fact that we're helping organizations change. Our name Verilion stands for Green Lion, Verdus Green Lion. And Green Lion was an agent in alchemy from a long time ago. And alchemists helped try to change, led to gold. At the end of the day, what we're helping organizations do is not just execute something that they know, but actually adopt new things that are for the foreseeable future will change.
So it's almost because it's changing so much now, people need to hire you.
Even more so. I like the acceleration of change, actually.
So what's happening now in your field that wasn't happening 2 years ago? That's kind of a surprise to you.
I think two things. One is certainly the economic situation. But the economic situation has actually been an accelerator for our business. Two reasons. One, everybody's trying to improve the performance of the money that they are spending on marketing and advertising. And secondly, the thing that has changed dramatically is the rise of media and its social components. More people are spending more time on digital platforms, and those platforms are much more social. So it's the combination of those two vectors, trying to save money or increase performance for the same dollars, and the nature of media itself changing are the two things that are driving our business.
And so as a leader in this economic climate, speaking of the first thing, what different decisions have you had to make because of the climate?
Certainly we've made some very, very tough staffing decisions. We've had to ask our people to work harder for the work that we have available, and that hasn't always been easy.
And that's the non-fun part of being a CEO.
It's both the joy is working with extraordinarily talented and bright people. It's the reason I get up every day and go into the office is the opportunity to work with those people. But sometimes you have to make the really hard decisions, and that is the downside of being the boss.
And you offer of webinars such as how to leverage Facebook for your business. Give us some, you know, obviously the business audience listening. Give us some of the quick tips about businesses can implement some basics like Facebook, Twitter, et cetera.
Sure. I think two things. One is people first and foremost should look at these new social medias, and I'm talking to other business leaders, not necessarily as an opportunity to generate leads or get new business, but as the opportunity to protect your reputation. Other people are talking about you, and you need to make sure that those people are accurate, or at least that you know what they're saying. Then you can start moving into the more aggressive lead generation.
Because you can control some of these mechanisms.
Or at least respond. We're working with a lot of clients who have never had a customer service department before. They've never offered a 1-800 number so that they can call in and receive complaints. But Twitter or Facebook or some other avenue, people are talking about their business, and it really now becomes a customer complaint department, and they have to deal with that first. Because if you're a restaurant, if you're a professional service firm, Whatever it is, people are talking about you. And if you, unless you know how that reputation is being transmitted, you're not going to stay in business very long.
Are you finding that most potential clients that you talk to, or current clients, et cetera, are hesitant to embrace these new social media forms, or is everybody on board now?
Oh, no. I think everybody knows the need, but they're extraordinarily hesitant. They don't know the right time. They don't know the right platform. And to be honest, I think it's often a reflection of they don't know what generates business for them in the first place. But it is it's the social media has made more transparent the conversations about them, and they're not necessarily comfortable knowing that this was all going on anyways.
Let me get to this. We're speaking with Dan Solomon, CEO of Verilion. And so what I wanted to ask you was that you offer these different webinars, how to leverage Facebook for your business and things like that. Have you found that, I think it's a smart idea to provide some type of free service to people. Are those popular for you?
One of the things that we're learning is in this business is that it's not always, people need new insights. People need to build their own capacity. And it's not that they need execution, they just need insights. So certainly the more that we can provide people with those insights, it's good for our business.
Next question. Your book, you co-authored the book Media Rules, Mastering Today's Technology to Connect with and Keep Your Audience.
Yes.
So I got a question for you. What is something that most businesses don't know about communicating with their target audience online?
I think one of the things that most people don't pay attention to is that they don't need to own their audience. The older forms of communication, dare I say the radio or television or a newspaper or even a direct mail piece, somebody had to be brought to their audience, brought to that venue, brought to that platform. In today's more social communication, the idea is that your content, what you need to say, your message, whatever it is, can be distributed many different ways. And the point is to get it out in all those ways or as many that will engage the audience that you want to reach. It's not that you own your audience. At the end of the day, what you want is a business result. But the trick is to form partnerships, to form alliances, to distribute content in a way that you might not have ever thought of before.
Excellent. And you've got a little bit of a political background.
I do. I do. It's hard to be in D.C. and not have a political,
right. That's a
political
good point.
Pedigree. I'm a Democrat, and I like to say I and my wife is a Republican, so I'm actually in a two-religion household.
You held senior legislative positions in the United States Senate for Senator Harris Wofford and Senator Daniel Akaka. Am I saying that right?
Yes, I'm actually very honored. I've worked in all three branches of government. I've worked in the Clinton administration. I worked in the on the Hill for some very good senators, and I had the honor of being a law clerk for a federal judge.
So what does that, what do you bring from kind of being an insider in politics to what you do now as a CEO?
That's actually an extraordinarily good question. I see, in a sense, I brought an entrepreneur's vision to politics, which was that it's a focus on community. You have to focus on core values, but that you have the opportunity to shape the world. One of the things of reasons to go into policy and politics is the ability to help change, help improve the condition for a great group for the greater good. When you're an entrepreneur, you're much more focused on a micro level. The group of people I've got working with me every day that whose mortgages I worry about and the customers that we serve. But I think it's that same impulse to do things positively, to get things done, works extraordinarily well in politics as it does in business.
You said you're a Democrat. A lot of people buzzed about President Obama's use of social media for his election. What are your thoughts?
I think the great insight from President Obama's campaign was that the digital media and the offline activity were tied. What the great outcome was that digital was not a separate channel. Nobody can vote online, so digital communications was never going to win him the election itself. He had to drive people to the voting booth. And what was great about the campaign was the coordination between the digital media and people knocking on doors. And I think in the next year, the next 2 years, it's going to be that integration between social media, media that interacts with live interaction, with events and the experiences that people have every day.
One of the things it's interesting with Obama, with other people, is it brings you closer to the leader, right? So there's the digital, you know where the person's, you know when they're brushing their teeth, you know. So what the flip side of this, right, that's a good part. The flip side is security. right? There, you know where he's brushing his teeth.
Well, I mean, the lines, I mean, I don't really know if anybody wants to know whether, when he's brushing his teeth or not, or nor whether he wants to reveal that. But I do believe that the lines of what people define as privacy are changing. And I also think it's culturally specific in the United States. The notion of privacy that we have in the United States, which is wonderful, is also very particular to the United States. And I think that's because of the close proximity that people in other countries live in. And you're right, social media bridges geographic distance. And I believe that over time, as people become more accustomed with the benefits of being social, they are going to be more willing to give up some of their expectations regarding privacy.
I've got a Forbes business quote for you. We're speaking with the CEO of Virilion, Dan Solomon. The greatest difficulties lie where we are not looking for them. Johann Wolfgang von Goethe. Let me say that again. The greatest difficulties lie where we are not looking for them. Your thoughts?
Oh, absolutely. That's the unknown unknown. And those are the things that keep me up every night. The known unknowns, I have, and their to-dos related to them. But what keeps me up at night are the unknown unknowns, and that's exactly right.
So do you feel like as a CEO you control more or control less?
Oh, I think if any entrepreneur is honest and CEO is honest, you know that you don't control. What you're doing is adapting to the environment. I don't think you're always the coach. You're more like the quarterback every day calling audibles. And you have to have enough information coming from different sources to make sure that you're assessing the field accurately. The greatest challenge is to see farther down the field and identify the information sources you need to see down the field.
Your background, you were a graduate of the University of Michigan and University of Minnesota Law School. So you write good contracts for Virilion, is that right?
I've been known to be a tough negotiator, yes. and my lawyers don't always like me because I might overrule them a little bit. But it is one of the things, again, you asked me about politics and policy. One of the things I believe is a comfort with the law has enabled me to make smart business judgments. I think a lot of business people, and the one thing whenever I talk to a fellow entrepreneur or somebody starting in business, I always advise them never to let their lawyer run their business for them. Too many lawyers are all about...
Because they're risk-averse.
They're risk-averse.
And entrepreneurs opposite.
That's
risky.
Correct. And lawyers don't understand the risks that are acceptable because to many lawyers and practicing lawyers, and I practiced law for 2.5 years, any risk is unacceptable. And nobody can run a business or be successful in business if they don't accept risk. And so there's acceptable risk and there's unacceptable risk. But lawyers aren't the right ones to make that judgment.
So that's a piece of advice in a whole arsenal of advisors.
Well,
right?
That you could have 5 shows just on that point.
Excellent. Let me ask you your leadership philosophy. Give me some more. I mean, you've kind of given that, but give me
sure.
some more thoughts.
No, I think that's a very good question. I think in especially in these times, it's hard to define a vision that's 5 or 10 years. It's very much about the articulation of vision, the articulation of a perception and making coherent what's going on in the world. And to be honest, the best thing that I've ever done is identify and recruit to work with me wonderful people. It's not a successful business, I don't believe, is built upon one person. I don't think it is stable, would never last. I'm not a founder of our company. And when I joined, I made sure that nobody's name was on the door. I believe that a successful company is one built upon a good team that knows each other's strengths and weaknesses and can work and focus together. So that's at the core of what I believe.
Excellent, Dan. Well, I want to thank you for coming on Leaders Portfolio. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much for your time. Thank you.
The CEO of Virilion, Dan Solomon, and I'm your host, Rebecca Blacksmith. I want to thank these exclusive sponsors of Leaders Portfolio, Dennis Cole Architects, WOW Services Group, Divine Inspiration Salon, Riverwalk, a development featured on the front page of the Wall Street Journal, and Hilton Garden Inn of Fairfax, Virginia, providing all your business meeting room needs. If you're trying to reach the business community directly, consider sponsorship of Leaders Portfolio. We'll help you get there. I want to also encourage you to nominate a leader or leadership company from the D.C. area. Right now, we're doing our 2010 Leaders Portfolio Awards at leadersportfolio.com. Hey, maybe you want to apply yourself if you're a business leader, or maybe you think you have a good boss. We'll nominate them for the Leaders Portfolio Awards. It's at leadersportfolio.com. I'm Rebecca Blacksmith. I enjoy speaking with you about leadership. This has been me asking you, what's in your portfolio?